Listen to World Pastor Tony Alamo being interviewed by Greg Szymanski right now.
Hello to all my listeners this evening on June. Well, here we are this evening. We're live. I just been told we are live. I was having a little connection problem. So you're listening to the Investigative Journal. I'll be here for the next 2 hours with my special guest today, Pastor Tony Alamo. And in our second hour, we will be joined by FBI agent John Peeler, who was assigned the task to kill Pastor Alamo, but left the FBI in disgust. So this should be a great show, talking about Pastor Alamo's conversion to Jesus Christ, as well as his 30-year fight to against the Vatican and all the evils he has found out over the years. And I think you'll find it to be an interesting story. Before I get to my guest, Pastor Alamo, I do a segment called Remembering My Guests Who Need Help. And I wanted to bring up three today. One is Clotilde Mack, and she needs money for home furnishings. And you can email me at arcticbeacon@earthlink.net. Clotilde is an 83-year-old survivor of Katrina who will be moving back into her home in the Ninth Ward. And that was through the help of this radio show. And we got Clotilde back against all the wishes of the power that be that didn't want her to return to her home. And we personally picked her up in my motorhome, drove her back to her, drove her back home when FEMA was going to leave her in a nursing home in Tennessee alone. They wouldn't take her back. They said there wasn't any FEMA trailers. Well, we got her home. Despite even Homeland Security trying to stop us when we tried to pick her up in Tennessee. We brought her back. We forced FEMA to get her a trailer. The senator there decided after we made a big stink it's better to give Clotilde a trailer than to leave her homeless. She's now been living there for about 9 months a year. We'll be moving into her home in the Ninth Ward. We even got Catholic Charities gut out her home and to make sure that it was livable. And now she's moving back and she needs money for some furnishings. So help Clotilde Mack. You can go to my website at www.arcticbeacon.com and read all about that story and also many several interviews I did with Clotilde. Just an incredible story of how this woman survived 10 days in her attic up to her neck in water after she notified authorities where she was. And it's incredible. They couldn't help the poor, the old women and children. Who could they help? They didn't help her, and luckily she survived. So email me, and we'll see if we can help her get some home furnishings. Also, my motorhome is still down there, and I have an 81 Winnebago Chieftain that's being used by Common Ground Relief Fund for their workers to help people. But I'm going to put it up for auction, on an auction, a Patriot auction I'm running to raise some money for needed radio equipment and other things, and it'll be on my website. So you can get a 1981 Winnebago motorhome that's sitting in New Orleans right now with less than 40,000 miles, and the bidding's going to start about $1,000. So that's a good deal, and I'll have many more things on an auction I want to run to raise some money. So, I got two more people to get to before we get to my guest, Tony Alamo. I want to remember in our prayers Archbishop Gerard Bouffard, a former archbishop from Guatemala who now lives in Canada, and he's recently come down with bone cancer and needs your prayers. He's been on my show two times. He was a former Catholic who defected. He was an emissary between the Black Pope and the Pope, and told us point blank on my show on two occasions that the Black Pope runs the world. He knows it. They are all members of Masonic lodges, and they're all involved in the New World Order. He couldn't take it anymore. He was a 33-degree Mason before he left the Catholic Church and wanted to tell the truth about the evils of the Vatican. So say your prayers for Gerard Bouffard. He's also been threatened by the Vatican after he came on my show. So keep him in your prayers. My next, my last person is Robert Aguayas. He needs help in California. Robert lives in Corona, California. If anybody's out there that can help him, this is an incredible story that was on this show a week ago. Robert's son was killed in a plot to steal his organs, his liver, his heart and his lungs. They were sold to a mafia boss who paid the Corona police chief, Mr. Police Chief Gonzalez, over $1 million. They killed his son, according to Aguayas, and a whistleblower named Karen Weeks, a former police officer, has come forward with this information, and also is trying to help Robert to get to the truth about the death of his son in Corona. She has documented over 40 cases where these people are selling organs for money, and it's involved with the mafia there, it's involved with the police chief, it's also involved with a meeting with President Bush, who came through Corona in 2005 that police officer Karen Weeks documented. And please say prayers for them, because their lives are in danger, and Robert will be on my show again. So please, if there's anybody in California that can give his support, do that. I also want to say this, that my show will be expanding. We'll be on several more stations. We're also going to be producing my own show here, so it'll alleviate some of the problems for Liberty Radio. I'm still going to be on Liberty Radio, but I'll also be doing some shortwave, working out a deal now with a shortwave company, and also we'll be on several AM stations. So this will be expanding. And I might add, the shortwave person that I was talking to said that one of his frequencies was shut off, and he had to bow down to the FCC, who didn't want the Vatican message on it either. Well, he said he's not going to bow down any longer, so my show is going to be on. So we're going to be moving forward with this. Let me get to my guest, Pastor Alamo. He's been with me before. And let me tell you something. He's one true patriot and one true believer in God. I followed his story for years. Remember listening to it over the mainstream media, who castigated him and made him out to be an evil preacher, when in fact it was just the opposite. I found him to be an honorable, God-fearing man who found God in the strangest of ways. And tonight we're going to even verify his run-in with the FBI and the government through the eyes of an FBI agent, John Peeler, who's going to come on in the second hour and talk about how he was assigned to kill Pastor Alamo but couldn't do it, found nothing wrong with him, and decided to lead the FBI over this. I talked to John today, and while we were talking, he mentioned that his phone is constant. His phone, the FBI will be listening tonight, because his phone is bugged over a Title V search warrant that they have to listen to every phone conversation that John makes, and he has documented that through his phone company. And that's an interesting story in itself. So Mr. Peeler is being listened to and watched by the FBI constantly. So they'll be listening to the show tonight. I hope they enjoy it. Tony Alamo, Pastor Alamo, how are you tonight?
Very good. How are you doing tonight, Greg? You sound like you're in great form.
Well, you know what? A lot of people need help. A lot of people need inspiration. A lot of people need the things that, you know what, God only can provide. And, you know, I try to help as much as I can, and those three people I mentioned really do need it, and I know you've helped so many others in the past. I find your life story so interesting. I was reading an article you have on your website called Dry Bones, and do you remember that one you wrote?
Oh, I could never forget it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, some of the things you say here. And I wanted to just say this. You said this. And if I could read this paragraph, and this will get us off and running here, because I want people to really understand what we need to do to fight these evildoers in our country. And you said this, quote, "In 1964, before my resurrection through Christ, I, Bernie Hoffman, also known as Tony Alamo, was well known for sinning and ungodliness and was totally void of any knowledge of God. I had no idea that God existed. The words of God were to me fables and myths. And I couldn't understand how people could believe in God or his son. I couldn't believe the ones who said they believed in God, because they were hypocrites. They sinned as much as or more than me. I know, because I used to run around with them. We are all a bunch of dead, dry bones. I would become angry if anyone tried to convert me to Christianity, because to me the Bible was a waste of time. The life I lived gave me no time for games and fairy tales." Pastor Alamo, I know you start there with the way you used to be and how this conversion came, because you are totally a different person today.
That's right. Well, you know, the Bible does tell us that God talks. He actually talked the entire universe into being. And the 2 Peter 1:21 states, "For prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or spoken to by the Holy Spirit." That's how I was aware that there was God. I was in an office in Beverly Hills, and God actually talked to me. And that's what some of the things that people don't realize. From the very first chapter of the book of Genesis is God said, "Let there be light." And he said it. I mean, he talks. He talks way better than we do. As a matter of fact, he speaks all languages. He's the one that spoke languages unto everybody. But I totally was void. I certainly am not a prophet, did not want to be in the ministry. I actually thought people in the ministry were the biggest phonies on the face of this earth. And if they really believed in what they were saying, then I couldn't understand why they were not more outspoken than they are. How they just, and I had no respect for a wishy-washy Christ that they were talking about. But when God talked to me, he threatened me, and I thought, how could this be God? At first, you know, I was wondering, God, they say, is just all a God of love. But he did threaten me. He told me to speak as he was telling me what to speak, and he told me what to tell him. He said, "Tell them that I am the Lord thy God." Stand up, he told me to stand up on my feet and tell those people in that room that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, or I'll kill you. I'll see you will surely die. And so that, I thought, you know, I must be going crazy. Because I don't believe in God. This is a business meeting, and why would God mix business with religion, or religion with business? And so I tried to get up to get out of there because I figured I must be cracking up because I'm a genius.
And this was when you were in the Beverly Hills office. You were a music promoter and very successful, and you were with some Hollywood stars and some lawyers, and this happened to you right there.
Right. You know the story well. Now, what happened is there was I had an entourage of 17 people with me, and this attorney, a Jewish attorney in Beverly Hills, wanted to have a piece of the action of this young man that I was promoting because we were hitting number one on the national charts here and there all over. Our regional hits, everything I released on him hit number one regionally, and it was just going to for sure hit number one everywhere because he, to me and to many people, was better even than the Beatles. He wrote all these fantastic songs, and I still own the masters on them and everything, and I actually even own a Beatles album because of Pete Best wanted me to do the promotion for his new group, which we call Best of the Beatles, and so I took the album, and I still got it to this day, and I won't sell it because I want people to know for sure that I'm not in the ministry for money. But anyway, the thing that really got me is God talks, you know, and he gives direction, and he told me exactly what to tell those people, or that I'd be killed. Later, many years after I was saved, I read in the Bible, when I got saved, I read all through the scriptures and continued doing it today. This is going back almost 43 years ago, that God threatened all the prophets. He threatens everybody in the world. And he also tells us that if we listen to him, I didn't want to be in the ministry. That was the last thing. It was my nightmare to have, something happen to me like these idiots in the world, which I thought were idiots. Later I found out that they were right, a lot of them. And I didn't want that to happen. And because I was having a good time out there, I thought. And I thought it was an exciting life, but it's never been so exciting since I've been saved, since God talked to me that day. Since then, I've never witnessed anything. Every day that I wake up, I figure, what's going to happen today? Anyway, God talked to me, and he said, you know, stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely positively die. And so I got, tried to get up, I couldn't. And so he said, doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. So I thought, man, and then my mind opened up and I knew that there was a heaven and a hell, and I, honest to God, never knew that before. Never. I mean, you hear that there's a heaven and a hell, but I didn't really know it. It's like the Holy Spirit that spake unto people and told them these different prophecies. He was actually telling me this and put it in my soul, right, in my spirit, my heart.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question about this time, because you were number one in the marketing industry back then. You were responsible for the careers of many world-famous singers and actors, as well as promoting several well-known products. And you even said your worst nightmare would be to be standing there passing out gospel leaflets about Jesus on street corners and preaching the gospel and organizing food lines to feed the hungry. This to you would have been your worst nightmare. So when this transgression, when this changed in your life, how did the people that knew you, how did they respond? People that knew you in your successful marketing career, what kind of responses were you getting from these people in Hollywood?
Well, they looked at first when I stood up, you know, after arguing back and forth with the Lord, then I realized it was him, because the Spirit started coming in and out of me, and my heart was beating. It felt like it was about a foot out from my chest. And I knew that he had total control of my life. I saw them looking at me like they were watching a movie, because these guys knew me. My troop, the entourage of 17 people that were with me, and the Jewish attorney and my attorney and his wife were sitting there as well. And they were looking at me just like they're watching a movie. I guess they thought I was putting them on a trip. And after I started telling them, and really violently telling them what, because I knew it was God then, the Lord said, okay, that's it. That's enough. So we were only up one floor. I said, thank you, God. Praise the Lord. You know, so I started walking down the stairs, and this whole group of people that were with me, I heard my hearing started coming back. He shut my hearing off and told me that all through my whole body. And then my hearing started coming back, and I heard the Jewish attorney saying, get him out of here, he's Meshigana, which means crazy, you know, in Hebrew. And I said, crazy, you're the one that asked me to come here. You wanted to be investing in this project that I'm doing now, with this advertising, this Bobby James, promoting him. And you're calling me crazy? Then I thought real fast to myself, yeah, I would have thought somebody was crazy as well if they came into my office and was telling me what I'm telling these people. And then the Lord, my hearings came back, and the Lord said, that's enough. So I walked out, and all these people followed me. We went down to the limousine. I had a entourage of 17 people. There was a limo down there, a Cadillac, a stretch limo, and six motorcycle police, LAPD. They were off-duty cops that also used to drive on funerals. And I had told them that we had Lincolns and Cadillac behind this mess. And I told them, go home, I want to be by myself. And they tried to, Big Jim, who after this began driving for Sonny and Cher, he told me, come on, get in. He was an ambulance driver, but now he's, I told him he was the bodyguard, so he started believing it. And so I said, I want to be by myself. And he says, get in the car. I said, Jim, you know that I know the baseball bat brigade. One of my friends in the music industry, a bunch of people raped his wife, and he had this baseball bat brigade just beat the people that did it. They broke every bone in their body and sent them to the hospital. And so I know that my friend, if anybody bothered me, I could have called him and had to tell him to send him over here, you know, and I'll take care of you. I just use it to threaten people. So finally they got in the car, and I walked in. When I got home, I was walking and asking the Lord, what do you want? I know you're there now. just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. I don't care what you say. You're there, and there's no doubt about it. I heard you talk, and you made me do that, and you pulled the spirit right out of my, you pulled my soul right out of my body, back and forth like it was a yo-yo. And I said, just tell me what you want to do. And I swear to God, I'll do it. And I'm not going to be like those phonies that you called. I mean, they're saying, oh, Jesus is all dove and all this kind of stuff. This is so phony, and they're leading people, souls to hell. Instead of reading the Bible, they're listening to these false prophets and teachers and preachers and the Vatican and the world government and the media. This is things that you don't want to listen to because it's all a lie what they're telling you. And so he didn't ask me, so I went home, and you asked how these people thought about it. My secretary there, Vivian, said there was a round table of these people that were the entourage that were working for me. She rushed out to the door when she saw me come in and says, these people are trying to commit you to a mental institution. And I says, what? These idiots that work for me want to put me in a mental institution? She said, yes. She says, can we go someplace? So we got in a car, and we went over and parked across the street from on Los Feliz Boulevard from the park there where the observatory is. And she was telling me that some different supernatural experience that she had. And I thought, man, that's how they reacted. And so later in 1964. Well, in 1967, my wife, the Lord put us together very supernaturally. And then
you know, can I ask, before you get into this, I just one question, though. You may have questioned your own sanity, too, when you're hearing these voices.
Yeah, I did.
But what was so, you explain in this article that it was like God was every molecule around. It was like everything that you've ever, nothing you've ever experienced before. Made you realize that you weren't going crazy?
Well, because like when I finally, he said, when after he showed me there's a heaven and a hell, then I thought, well, if there's a God, there's a devil. And so I said, I got to get out of here because I'll check myself into a private mental institution and do some finger painting and make some wallets or purses or whatever they do in there. And that I'll be fine after a while because I knew some people that had made it in the show business. Don Gibson, who wrote I Can't Stop Loving You and Oh Lonesome Me and a lot of big songs, and he went into the sanitarium because he was a drunk. And then also the artist that cut his ear off, that was a genius, and he threw it in the trash and then put it in an envelope and sent it to his girlfriend. You can't imagine what people do, but I mean, I was afraid that I'd totally unglue and do something like that, so I figured, well, I'll go to a mental institution, and then when the Lord came down with this powerful intelligence of his and made me know that he knew every piece of sand and has enough, so much intelligence that he could call each grain of sand a name, and every fiber of a tree or a leaf or a blade of grass, he knows, the Bible says he knows everything. That is literal. I mean, he knows every pore in your body. He knows every thought that you're thinking, and even knows what you're going to say before you say it. Because many times I was starting to say something, and he checked me. He knew what I was going to say, and he'd say, don't. And I'd say, well, what? And then he'd tell me, just either be quiet or clam up, in other words, or say this. And that happened one time when I was in, and so I knew that God knew everything, every fiber of carpet in the room, every little particle in every stick of wood, and not only the hairs on your head, that's minor in comparison to every little tiny cuter, every molecule, every atom. He knows everything and probably calls every atom by name. He knows all the sand the fibers of the dirt and the layers and every particle of metal. It's just incredible what God is and what he knows and his power that he could just, he gives life and he can take life. He says, I behold, I kill and I make alive. I can do anything. I can do everything except lie, die, and fail. And his word is infallible. I mean, it really is what he says. I read the Bible where he threatened Ezekiel, just like he threatened me. He says, you go tell the people in the world about the things I'm telling you. And he says, if you tell them, the blood of their souls will be off your hands. And if you don't tell them, all the blood of their souls is going to be on your hands. You're going to hell. And so I thought, man, that really was God.
Mm-hmm. So for a person like you who didn't believe in heaven or hell, or what did he show you about hell that made you so frightened of him?
Well, he just showed me that it was there. That was the first thing that he showed me about it. And then later, just before Christmas, I wasn't saved when he did that to me. I believed he was there, but a lot of people believe that Jesus is there and God is there, which I don't see how they do until they have an experience like that. But, I don't know their hearts. Maybe they do know that he's there. But this experience, you have to have him in your heart. He has to enter into you. So I wasn't saved right then. But when I did get saved, it was in my apartment. And it wasn't a very good one because I started losing money because I was afraid that if I got into business again.
Pastor Alamo, let's take a short 3-minute break. We'll pick up right where we left off, back after these short messages.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773.
Okay, welcome back to the second half hour. And over the years on the Investigative Journal, we've had people listening from all over the world, people who want to get the truth from the source, from the true source, and that is from people who follow the Word of God, and many, many researchers around the world who have dedicated their lives to understanding really what's behind the New World Order and what's happening in the world. And I want to just welcome a few listeners from India tonight, first-time listeners from India. And keep listening and tell your friends, if you're listening tonight, to tune in to the Investigative Journal. And you also go to my website at arcticbeacon.com, and you can get some great articles there that you won't get anyplace else. In fact, today's headline is Confession to the Jesuits Number 30. Jesuits have silenced President Lincoln's words, but finally these words have been uncovered. And Lincoln warned Americans about the papacy and the Jesuits' true intentions, and for that he was killed, just like President Kennedy. And you can go to my website and read about 7 or 8 paragraphs that President Lincoln really hit the nail on the head when he talked about the Jesuit order and their involvement in the Civil War, and he warned Americans that if you don't oust them from your country, that is, get rid of them, you may lose your freedoms once and for all. I know, Pastor Alamo, we're going to get back to your personal story, but just an aside, I know you've been fighting the Vatican a long time, and you've been fighting them by exposing their evils. I'd like to just discuss that for a few minutes.
Okay.
Tell me, in your heart, what you feel about this organization and how they're really, are they really at the bottom of the destruction of this country?
They absolutely, without a doubt, even God's word says so. It's based that Satan's seat is in the city of the seven hills. That's Rome. And it's the richest, the most supposed to be church, it's a cult. And you know, the thing that really grabs me today is that people say, well, at one time the church, which is in Rome, the church never was in Rome. It was in Jerusalem. That's when the church began, on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 people were filled with the Jews were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the people in the world are so jealous of the Jews because it was through the Jews that Christ came into the world. God is the God of the Jews, and every Gentile can become a spiritual Jew if they bow down before the actual world's greatest Jew and accept him as their personal Savior, because he actually, I've written a book called The Messiah, where there are 333 prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, so that people could have no doubt that he is Messiah. But then you've got this organization in Rome that says that the church really was started in Rome, and that since then the Jews have infiltrated and made it an evil thing. The Jews never had those idols. The whole Catholic cult is filled with idols, and they worship Mary, and they pray to Mary, and this is so anti-Christ, so anti-Christian, and it's Catholic. And then there are so many governmental organizations like the FBI, Satan's government, to try to make, they want to make the FBI look good, to put a new false face on the FBI, which is nothing more than a radical Catholic military group itself. it's just amazing what they do. And all these different agencies, and even these supposed to be Christian organizations, the Nazis would have been put in jail long ago if the U.S. constitutional government, in God we trust, that is, were still intact. J. Edgar Hoover even was led during his entire career by the Catholic Cardinal Feldman. The FBI is completely Catholic. In Nazi Germany, they were called the Gestapo. They were called FBI right here in the United States. It's the same thing with the IRS. The Vatican used the Vatican money to start the war, to beef Hitler up with all his military might. And then they came to us and said, how would you people like to defend yourself? Because Hitler's going to rule the world, and he's an evil. And when, in fact, he was one of them. He had studied to be a Catholic priest. So they came to us and said, you want money to build up your defenses here? The president, FDR, was one of the Catholic Jesuits. And so we said, sure, we have to defend ourselves. So they bombed Tokyo. They bombed Pearl Harbor. And then, of course, all of a sudden, wanted to go to war. That's what they did with the World Trade Center, because they want us to take over every nation. And they want to use us as their muscle so that they can rule the world. And they make up false stories about what happened, and the media just keeps saying it over and over again until people actually believe it. So I have affidavits from many people, and just as you do, including the FBI agent who's going to be on your program later on this evening.
You know what I'm going to do, Pastor? For at the top of the hour, I want to bring John Peeler on with you for about 20 minutes to talk about what happened to you and to verify through his words what they tried to do to you for spreading the word of the gospel, the Bible, and also this anti-Vatican message, which they do not like. So we'll spend about maybe 20 minutes to a half hour with John, and then finish up the show with you again, because there's a lot to talk about. But so let's move towards that direction. And what I mean by that is, in many ways, God showed himself to you, and you listened. You left your business, very profitable, wealthy business of music promoting in Hollywood, and then took up his cause. And I guess in 20 minutes, try to lead us to that point where they finally put you in jail for 4 years illegally.
Okay, well, they have pulled me into court. Now, everybody used to just love me before I was a Christian. They said, oh, the world's greatest promoter, you know, Sonny and Cher, and then later Rovan and all these different people. But they wanted me to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. And people like Mayor Yorty from Los Angeles, and Ted Chirac, Walter Winchell, and Kennedy himself, all of them wanted me to do the whole presidential campaign. I didn't know anything about politics. So, but anyway, they threw me in jail on 100 different occasions for distributing gospel literature on the street, and they're still arresting our people. Just a recent case up in New Jersey. And finally, after year after year, I kept doing the same thing. And then Susie, who I always pushed to be a preacher, I mean, she was the greatest preacher as far as I'm concerned.
And that's your wife that you met.
She's deceased, my late wife, of April 8th, 1982. And so I pushed her, and I guess they thought I didn't know anything about, you know, how to keep the church going, or knew anything about the Lord, because Susie had been in the ministry 25 years before me. And then after she died, the Department of Labor came against us and said we had to start writing out paychecks to all the hippies that we went off the street and built homes for, and were feeding three or four square meals a day. buying them clothes, paying for their teeth because their teeth were all rotted out or fallen out from narcotics and drugs. And so I didn't even have time to mourn when Susie died. I had to go right into Little Rock, where they were holding this Department of Labor case, trying to make it to where I had to pay. I don't know in any church that has to pay paychecks to people that they win to the Lord. Most of them don't win people to the Lord. They're sending people's souls to hell with all the false doctrine that they're preaching. But anyway, that didn't work. And then they tried to get me for numerous things after that, but one of the major things was that I wanted to kidnap Federal Judge Morris Arnold, who was presiding in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that I wanted to kidnap him. Why? To feed him and clothe him and build a house for him? I have no idea. But they knew that he had taken all of our property because we'd been in the ministry then for about 30 years. And they gave all of our property away to two thieves that stole money from us. And he pierced through the corporate shell, Judge Arnold, and stated that these two people had been abused so much that they deserved to get, and what it amounted to, it wasn't any fancy property or anything, but we had built so many homes for people and we put them in their name, but they said, no, they're not really, they don't belong to these people, they belong to you. It's your ultra ego. All the food that came in, you ate. All the money that came in, you spent on yourself. And here we had hundreds of homes and furnishings, and we were paying their bills, their lights, their gas, electricity, their everything, their teeth, their operations that they had to have, and all different things like that. And it's your alter ego, so we possessed all your property. They ran all of our people off of Georgia Ridge, just up above Dyer, Arkansas, and they had to sleep in cars. They had to go to relatives. They were all over the place, and they said when they tried to come back to even get some photographs, they wouldn't allow them. They had military guards up there, and that was because I wrote an article about Bush Sr. He had six Nazi war criminals as his advisors. They're Nazis, the Bushes. They're Catholics. There's a recent picture of him bowing down before this Pope here, and he's built monuments unto the Pope and the Vatican in Washington. And he says that he's a Christian because he says that Catholicism is Christianity, when in reality Catholicism is the biggest enemy of Christianity. We're no enemy to them. I'm not preaching anti-Catholic to people. I want to win them to the Lord, and most of the people in our church are Catholics. But anyway, they after when that happened, when I printed that, I won the case of wanting to hang the judge with all the bad publicity he had on me in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I won that case with a jury trial. I was not guilty. So they tried everything, so then they had to drum up a IRS charge on me. They hid our books and records and stated that I hid them. And we have proof that the prosecuting attorney hid them. And so in Memphis, they took me out of my jurisdiction where, you know, most people, they'd heard of me, but they didn't know. And they had this Church of Christ guy that was the head of the jury, and he was winking at us, you know, pretending that, you know, he was for us and all that. And he was actually convincing the jury to vote against me. One black lady was hanging in there. She says he is not guilty. And so I thought it was a mistrial. But finally, after several days, they even got my attorney, Jeffrey Dickstein. He made up all kinds of lies and actually instructed me to leave before the trial, to run. I said, I'm not running. Bob Cole and his people, who is the bail bondsman here, put up his home and his businesses and all their businesses. I says, why would I run? I says, those people's souls would be lost if I ran. They'd lose everything they have. And so finally, they said, well, guilty. So they sent to this judge in Memphis, sentenced me to 6 years in the federal penitentiary. So I just figured, well, you know, this just goes to prove that the Bible is true. He says, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Joseph went to prison. Jesus went to prison. All the prophets went to prison. All the apostles went to prison. So I consider myself, you know, in a very exclusive club, the jailbird club.
And I know you used that time to try to win over some souls.
Oh, I went
while
a lot
you
of
were
Muslims
in prison.
And every kind of religious people, a lot of Catholics. Catholics, I mean, if they hear the truth, a lot of them are saved. Like you say, this there was this priest that Abraham Lincoln was defending. He was terribly persecuted because he stepped out of the Catholic cult and began telling the truth about it. And now you've got John Peeler, who was with the FBI and actually admitted to wanting to. He said that he knew that they were going to kill David Koresh in Waco. He said they were laughing about it and making it a turkey shoot. And then Clinton, President Clinton, said that'll teach people to join cults. In other words, Clinton figures that the Catholic cult is the only religion to belong to, and anyone that doesn't belong to it deserves to die or be cast into prison, to be beaten to death, to be destroyed. And they've hired hitmen like John Peeler. I admire that man because very few people will step out of the fold, this satanic fold, and tell the truth. But that's what they did. They gave us gave me 6 years, and I did 4 years of it. And then because of good behavior and because of a congressman, they got behind me and several other people. I got out in 4 years, and I did a half year in the halfway house over in Texarkana at the Salvation Army.
Yeah, and you have a page on your website that, and I might give out your website now if people want to go there and read your writings and look at how your ministry has grown from that time God talked to you in that office in Hollywood. It's grown tremendously. It's Alamo Ministries, that's A-L-A-M-O, ministries.com, and you can go there and read a lot of Pastor Alamo's writings, and also you can check out all the radio stations he's on across the country trying to spread the message, as well as a page you dedicate to false accusers against you, because over the years it appears that they have really, the powers that be, have really tried to make your life a living hell in every possible manner of spreading lies and deceit and untruths about you. But you fought back honestly and talk about it honestly. And John Peeler, in about 10 minutes, hopefully he's going to be on if there's no problems with his phone or anything. And he can recount how the government used him or tried to use him to bring your ministry down. Now, you have numerous ministries all over the country, but there are several, one in Texarkana, one in California, and then where's the other one at, the major one?
Over in Fort Smith, Arkansas, over in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and then the biggest churches we have are over in Africa, India, and other over 170 some nations in the world. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on overseas, you know.
Right. How did it grow? So, how did it grow over the years, Pastor Alamo? Looking back to your conversion, how did it grow so rapidly?
Oh, it's just simple. Because when you listen to the Holy Spirit, it's like a man when I was that had to work in Los Angeles for 50 years. His name was Abe Schneider, and he after I was saved for just 2 or 3 years, he came up to our place and says, "How come God's blessing you more than he has me? You've only been saved for 3 years, and I've been saved for 50 years. And I said, "I don't know. I didn't even want to be saved. I mean, it was my nightmare, and I just do what the Holy Spirit says. So it is strictly the working of the Holy Spirit, because on a day-to-day basis, I really don't know what to do. I'm just the same kind of a guy that I was on the day that he spoke to me first. I And I know that he speaks, and I know that he's the Holy Spirit, and that I know that he's God. I know that he knows what he, and it's like almost effortless, you know, because when the Lord tells me to do something, I do it, and there's an explosion. It's like an explosion over in different countries and everything. I'm just saying what he says. I don't have any of my own opinions or ideas or anything. It's just I listen for him to speak. I mean, I want to be like in France now, or in Germany, or over in Israel especially. But I'm right over here in the United States where I don't want to be. But I want to be here because I know the Lord wants me here. And if people just do what he wants, instead of trying to make up what they're supposed to do in order to be in the ministry. But it's so hard for people to believe that God speaks. But, you know, in the book of Acts, for chapter 18, verse 9, it says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid." They thought he was going to get killed or something. "But speak and hold not thy peace." In other words, he wanted him to preach there when it looked like people wanted to kill him. Well, it's the same thing in the town, in different towns that I'm living in. I know that the FBI and the Vatican, who is under the auspices of the Vatican, wants to kill me. But the Lord says, hold fast, speak. Don't be afraid to preach and teach. And don't be afraid to tell the truth, to speak out about them, no matter how much they threaten you. He told the same thing to Ezekiel. He says, you know, they're going to come against you. They're not going to believe what you're saying, but make your forehead, you know, strong like flint, and just say what I'm saying, or else you're going to hell. Well, I actually have the pistola of the Lord on my head, and I know that when I do what he says, and I don't make up what he says, or I don't get these impulses, but I actually have to hear from him. If I do what he says, then there's this explosion. The work of God is worldwide now, and I know that there's other people that understand this as well as I do, and maybe some people understand it better, but I cannot take any credit for what he's done, because it's for him and for his glory, and for he wants many sons. He wants to win many people to himself, because we're made in his image and likeness, and he wants to live in us, just like fit in us like a glove. Like we look like him, he wants to fit in us, and he wants to do the living in us. He wants us to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, in him, and he in us, so that he can do the work in us. And so I say, okay, I'd love to go to Acapulco or to Helena or Billings, Montana, Lewistown, Montana, where I was raised, you know, for nostalgia's sake and all this. And I've wanted to go there, but I just say, do you want me to do? And the Lord will say, not now, no, no. Or can I go back to Israel? No. Just stay put and preach the gospel, because these people that are threatening you think you're afraid of them if you run off like that. And I don't want them to think that you're afraid. And I said, well, I'm not. And he says, well, because I'm not afraid, because you tell me to fear not.
And one thing that comes out loud and clear through your voice and your words is that once you do find God, once you do start preaching his word, you also have this sense of freedom where there's nothing to hold you back from getting to the truth. There's no reason to hide the truth, and there's no reason to not expose the evil as it comes forward. And you can see by doing that how these people that are fighting you are actually working for the enemy. It's very obvious that the truth, in your case, sets you free, correct?
Right. He says, be not afraid, but speak. If God says, be not afraid, then I'm not afraid. If he said, one time he told me, and he's told me many times to watch out. In Las Vegas, I was staying there, and he says, you've got 5 minutes to get out of here. Okay, go. And I told the other people, wrap what you got in a blanket, throw it on your bed, wrap it in a blanket, and throw it at the back of the van, because we got to get out of here. The Lord gives us 3 minutes. I want to make sure. He said five, but we got to get out of here in 3 minutes. Right then, the FBI that was watching us, I reckon, was taking a coffee break. And he just gets, get out now. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah, and so he says, don't be afraid, but speak. So he says, okay, speak. And, well, Lord, you know what? The federal government, all these people are so much larger and bigger than, they're more than the hair on my head. Oh, my God, he says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Speak. Don't be afraid of any of them, because all they are is men.
And Pastor Lamo, we're going to take a short two-minute break, then be joined by John Peeler for a segment. And after we talk with John and verify how he was assigned to bring you down, I want to get into many, many things about false preachers, how the Pope has taken over numerous institutions in our country, including many of our major religions. Back after these short messages on the Investigative Journal.
All right.